All right. Hi, ladies. We are live.
Hello, I'm Felicia Vereen, always known as Fee.
Hey, Fee.
And I'm your girl, Sharita Three, better known as Fred. And we are Inspire Her, the Total Woman podcast, all about uplifting you.
Yes.
Because friends, face it, you are awesome.
We'll be chatting up about topics we love to talk about, all the things we as women must juggle every day, and the issues we complain about.
But who's listening? We'll chat about the struggle, the job, and about him. Mm. You know who we're talking about.
Girl.
That boo, husband, boyfriend, ex, whatever you're calling them today.
Mm.
Our lovely hellions, kids.
Our angels. But seriously, friends, life happens, and we don't always get a chance to talk about it. We take it on the chin, and we keep it moving.
Because that's what we were told to do.
Yep.
But here on Inspire Her, the Total Woman podcast with Red and Fee, we are the friends you love to hang out with. We are here to inspire her, the Total Woman.
Yes.
Hey, Red.
Hey. Hey.
How are you?
I am good. I am excited. Look at all these beautiful faces we got.
We got new friends.
So, guys, take a minute and share it to your pages. Give you guys a few seconds and share it to your pages. How was your day, Fee?
Girl, I don't know. This fall has set me, it's got me a little off kilter a little bit. You know, I'm in Georgia. We only got 2 months of winter, but it was 50 degrees this morning. And I'm like, what? I don't know whether to put on my boots or you kind of got to dress for the middle of the day. So I was like, I'm confused right now. I think I'm walking confused. That's what I am. How about in Virginia?
You know what? I was in a training all day today, so I don't even think I went out other than take the dog out. But that was it. But I was in the house for the most part. Good evening, Sylvia, Valerie, and Ellis. Hi. How's everybody doing?
Thank everybody for coming in. Well, before we get started, while the ladies are sharing, guys, we want you to continue to share our page. I have been paying attention to what's been going on with Inspire Her behind the scenes, and you guys have been doing some sharing and bringing your friends in, and we're up to about 1,100 followers, 1,180 to be exact. So we truly appreciate that. We love the fact that you guys are loving on us right now. So we have been extremely patient. So listen, continue to share, follow. We got some good stuff coming. We have a lot of good stuff coming. And we have a retreat coming for our ladies. So pay attention. We got some details coming to you very, very shortly. Everybody good?
Well, let me introduce everybody. Yeah, let's introduce everybody. Fee, you got a lag in your internet. You're kind of going in and out a little bit.
Okay.
So we're going to start with Shari. Can you introduce yourself? Shari, can you hear me? All right, let's go to Melanie.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you so much for having me on Inspire Her. I love the theme of your show, Girl Talk Live, and I'm just excited to be here. I am a registered nurse, and my company is Beyond Nursing LLC, and we do nursing staffing and consulting, mentoring, just a little bit of everything. So if anyone is interested, they can reach out to me on info@beyondnursing.org. But tonight I am the nurse off duty. You see this cup? It says nurse off duty. So I'm going to sit back and enjoy the conversation and look forward to what you ladies have to say.
Okay. What about anybody else having a hard time guys hearing everybody? Because I feel like everybody's squeezing.
There's an echo when you speak.
And it's a lag.
When I speak?
Yes.
Yes.
For me?
Yes, Sharita.
Hmm. me see what I can do. What about now?
You're good now.
It's good now? Okay.
All right. While she's working on herself, we're going to move on. Shari or Sonia, can you introduce yourself?
Okay. Certainly. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
I'm so glad to be here a part of Inspire Her. I'm Sonia Scott, and I'm currently working for the federal government, and I'm a contract officer. And I'm also an entrepreneur, and my Instagram, I'm a matchmaker. So currently my Instagram is at To Coach You Forever Matchmaker.
Did you say you were a matchmaker?
Yes. Yes. I rebranded Yes, I've rebranded my life coach business, and I've been doing matchmaking for about 6 months now.
How about you? How about that? When we get off of here, I'm gonna call you. All right, who do we have next? How about we go to Anita? Anita, tell us. Oh, wait a minute. We're supposed to be talking about what we're drinking in our cups. If you
I apologize. I guess it was my internet that was cutting up. So I changed from my iPad, my MacBook to my laptop, iPad, whatever. So I think we're good now. Okay.
All right, Anita. Anita, can you go next? Yes.
Hey, everybody. My name is Anita. I'm a New Jersey native. I settled down in North Carolina about 16 years ago with my husband and children. Married for 25 years. Me and my husband recently celebrated our 25th anniversary on the 4th of July. I have two children, and my daughter just gave birth to my first grandbaby. So I'm super excited about that. I do like to organize homes in my spare time. I do have an Instagram page, which is right here, Deborah's_domain. So if you're ever scrolling through Instagram, go ahead and follow and like.
Okay. All right. We are, Shari, are you ready?
Yes, ma'am. I am. I couldn't hear you the first time.
Okay.
So how are you ladies doing? I'm happy to be a part of this chat tonight. I'm Shari Smith, and I am a medical risk adjustment coder. I am the lead quality auditor and trainer for a third-party vendor out of Las Vegas. So I'm excited to be on here with you all tonight and have some great conversation.
Awesome.
Okay. Miss Angela, who is not, she's definitely been on here before.
Good evening. It's been a long day. I've been practicing law for 23 years, but my proudest accomplishment is my baby boy just graduated from the University of Rijad in Brussels. He's a scientist now.
Great.
I'm thrilled to be a part of Inspire Her with you ladies tonight.
Thank you. What did we say what we were drinking? Did everybody say what they were drinking? Everybody got a little wine, a little water?
Oh, I got me a little H2O in my cup.
Because we're about to have some girl chat, and you know you can't have girl chat without a little wine.
Y'all see what my cup says?
But you know what, see? Great minds think alike. Our girlfriend Peggy got us these things a while ago, and they say Queen B. But this came about because one of our girlfriends, Tanya, had invited us to the house, and we all just chatting and talking, and you know, it was just so many different things. It was so much going on. I'm like, you know what? You guys got to come on the podcast, and we can call this girl chat. So everybody was like, yeah, we could do that. And, you know, it was just awesome. So thank you, ladies, for agreeing to come on. Did we lose Sonia again?
We lost Sonia. I think she said in the chat that she couldn't hear us. So I think she's trying to fix that.
Gotcha. Okay. So some of the topics, we got some juicy topics we want to talk about and kind of get your input. And, you know, there's so many things going on and and around and pop culture and stuff. But the one thing is this 50-50 in relationships. And, you know, some of us were taught that, you know, you grow up, the man pays everything. But now, you know, we earn more than the men for the most part. So what do you guys think about this 50-50 thing? Shari, what's your take on this 50-50 thing? And is that something that you would do, or why not?
Well, it's actually something that I did. My then husband and I, we split everything right down the middle. It worked. But we lived like Steve Harvey. He had his account, I had my account, and then we had our account. So he couldn't tell me how to spend my money. I couldn't tell him how to spend his. As long as our bills were being paid, it worked out just fine.
Then did y'all make the same amount of money?
No. Okay. So he was in sales. So he made a little bit more. Yeah.
Okay. I did the same thing with my ex-husband, and it worked because he made less money than me, and I, you know, he was able to put in what we split in half because of that. But I didn't have to worry about what he was doing with his money, and he didn't have to worry about what I was doing with mine. Okay. It worked.
Anita, what you think about this 50-50 thing? And the whole Tyler Perry comment about we basically, you know, if the man all he got is a light bill, is that something you could be okay with?
No, not just the light bill. I think you need to bring a little bit more to the table than the light bill. But as far as the 50-50, I feel like whatever works for the couple. If 50-50 works for the couple and the couple agrees on that, then that's cool. I know some couples where the husband pays all the bills and the wife might take care of the little extras. I know some couples where they go 50-50 on everything. And then I know couples who will also do like 50% of your income. I think that's more fair, because if your husband's making $100,000 and you're making $50,000, I don't feel like it's fair to go 50-50. Now, maybe 50% of your income seems to be more fair, but not necessarily 50-50, because you're both not making the same amount of money. But ultimately, whatever you agree on, I feel like that's what goes. You got to do what works for you at the end of the day.
Okay. Angela, what you think?
Well, I'm a hopeless romantic, so I don't really care about the money. I just want the love, the sincerity, and the consistency. But I will tell you, being in this type of business, and I do primarily family law, and I deal a lot with divorces, so you see all types of models. But for me personally, I would break it down pro rata based on whatever my partner and I made. Pro rata, we should contribute to a joint account and like do it that way. I don't care if he makes more. I don't care if he makes less. At the end of the day, it's just about finding that life partner who's going to be honest, sincere, and consistent and contribute. I don't care. I'm with Tyler Perry. I don't care if he just pays the light bill. Just be honest.
I have a question on this. I wrote it down. And I said, would you choose to love a man if he had nothing really to give but love? Angela, since you brought that up, I wanted to know if you would choose him if he really had nothing but love. He was down and out, afford.
He says she's down there.
Well, really? Okay.
He better be mowing the lawn, and I better not. The house better be clean. I better not come home to a hot meal. No. That didn't be making him our slave, right?
You know, it was not a traditional thing. And when I run across clients who do it now, I'm like, are you insane? Because I was in my 20s, my late 20s, early 30s when I did it. I met him and he relocated from me. And so he had a difficult time finding a job that suited him. And so and then he had a really bad temper, and we were living in West Virginia. And so because of racism and stuff, and he also had a bunch of kids, so because of child support, by the time he worked, he wasn't really bringing home much. So he was the perfect mate as far as like making sure dinner was cooked, you know, laundry taken care of, running my bath water, painting my nails.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, that does get a little bit old. It's very frustrating when you're carrying all the bills. So, that got on my nerve, but I did do it for a while. So I have done it.
Okay.
I would not do that again. Okay. I would not do that again, but I have done it.
Sonya, what you think about the 50-50?
I think the 50-50 works for a lot of people. We know nowadays we have our careers, so a lot of times we do bring a lot to the table. So, you know, it depends on the man, because some men want to be a provider. So you're going to still have where they'll still pay the majority of the bills and you help with certain things that hold down the household. So, you know, it could be a combination of 50-50, or he maybe holds the family down, because men, that's important to men. And I have no problem with that.
Okay. I can agree with that, because a man is naturally raised to take care of the family.
Right. And
if they can't, that will bother them. I truly believe that. I agree with that.
Doc Melanie, would you?
So I have a couple of comments. I have been the one that provided 100%. And when I was married, and I had small children. And so my husband stayed home, and he was like, Mr. Mom, if I had to do it again, it would be 50-50. But unless the man was insistent on being the sole provider. To what Shari said, you know, they had their own accounts. You have your account, he has his account, and then you have our account. In my opinion, I think that's great. And it's still 50-50 is still less than they would be paying if they didn't have you, right? They'd be paying 100%. So there's not a 50-50. They should be able to afford the 50, the half, if they have to pay the whole if they didn't have you.
So
and when it comes to love, what Angela said, love doesn't pay the bills.
Right.
So love does not pay the bills. So absolutely not.
Right. So I had a conversation with another woman, and she was basically saying, and let me know what you guys think. You want me to go 50-50 on the bills, but I still got to cook every day. You still want hot meals. You still want me to clean. You still want me to take care of all the kids. You want me to do all the laundry. Are you helping and doing 50-50 in that part too, or is it a financial thing?
That part.
What do you guys thoughts on
so
that?
I think it should be everything should be 50-50. You know, you take on different responsibilities. Whoever gets home first starts the meal. You know, don't sit around and wait for that person to get home. Start the meal. Cook together, or you know, you do household chores together. It should be all the way around. But again, some men are, they feel they want to be sole providers. And so they'll take on the bills because they don't want to do those other things. And every man loves to get served a hot meal.
So, you know, naturally we out earn the man anyway. So a lot of times the black woman is more income than the average black man. I mean, it's not always that case, but sometimes it's like that. So we got what if it's a situation that a man doesn't know how to cook? He can take out. He can.
Now that was my situation.
Yeah, because you can be responsible for the meal. That don't mean that you have to cook it, but you're responsible for the meal on these 2 days.
And you can cook together, right?
Yeah,
you can come to the kitchen with you. You can show him a few things.
Right.
That's what
make it fun. That's right, Ellis. She said, teach him. Right. He can learn about the shrimp, and I see you on there.
So any other thoughts on this
50-50
thing?
I think Sonya wanted to talk, but I think she's having issues.
Oh, yeah.
Technology.
I was basically... Okay.
Go ahead. We can see you and hear you now. I think her technology is acting.
Okay, so Sylvia, are you willing to help with the outside work? Yeah, I mean, you mean cutting the grass, doing the laundry, and taking out the trash?
Absolutely.
I don't cut grass.
I don't cut grass.
No.
Other than that, I'm not cutting grass.
Nope.
So what is it about cutting grass? What is it? What's wrong with that?
I don't know how to stand outside.
Yeah, me either. So, I don't like being outside sweating.
That's not something I like to do.
I cut enough grass as a kid. So yeah, no, I'm not cutting grass.
Now, if he doesn't want to do it, are you willing to take on the responsibility of paying someone to do it?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even when my husband was here, we paid somebody to do it. He didn't have time. So yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. Left up to me, we would be in a jungle.
So that gets into the gender roles. Do you guys believe in the gender roles? Anita, you believe in the gender roles? Anita, you're a traditional woman. You believe in the gender roles?
I'm traditional, but I also have a husband that likes to cook, and I'm okay with that. And he's willing, like, when I had one thing about my husband, when I had my kids, he knew how busy I was with nursing and taking care of them. So he cooked, like, he had no problem jumping in the kitchen and cooking at all. Now, of course, he might not do the household stuff to my standard, but he made an effort, and I appreciated that.
Okay. I like that. Okay. You know, a lot of times we as mothers and women, we struggle with our self-care. How are you guys with your self-care? Do you make sure that you take time to do that? And are you, do you feel like you're being selfish when you do your self-care? Or is just like, no, I'm doing this because I need to recharge?
Yeah, I don't feel like it's selfish. I feel like you have to be your best self, because if you don't take care of you, you're no good to nobody.
That's right. And then you can teach your children. If you have small children, you can teach them about self-care and what it means for mommy to need to have her moments.
Mm-hmm.
And to take care of herself and do things for herself and explain the importance of, and then allow them time to just be with themselves and do things that they like. So, you know, to her point, you have to take care of yourself first or you'll be no good to anyone else.
So what does that mean to you, Angela, to provide the self-care?
For me, it would be making sure I get some spa time in, which never happens, though, because I don't have time. I'm sitting here talking with somebody just texted me. A lawyer just texted me about a trial we have tomorrow morning. At 8:18, she just responded. So, like, self-care for me is just, like, being able to turn my phone off and turn the world off. That doesn't actually ever happen. On vacation, nothing. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. It's just not even when I was on vacation recently for a day, it's just sit.
Do you feel like sometimes you just have to do it? You just have to turn the phone off. You can't?
It's not, the only time that I could do it, Betsy, was when I went last year when I turned 50, I made a conscious decision that I was going to take 50 days and enjoy life. And I closed all my cases and I did that. But I mean, to get to that point, it means to wrap everything up. But it's really hard to get there because it's never going to be a time where someone's not calling you, asking you to do something. But when you work for yourself, a missed call, missed text, missed email is a missed opportunity. So don't allow that to happen. But if I could take some time in a relationship, it would be to do a spa day or something like that. That would be nice.
So that's that you take on your own business. That's you got to go in knowing that.
Right. Now, can y'all honestly answer that? Who is, you know, transparent enough to raise their hand and say they got control issues? Everything got to be the right way. Everything got to be this way. I don't trust anybody to take care of this. Anita, Shari, who else?
It depends on the person.
There's two hands.
It depends on what it is. Some things don't even take care.
Yeah.
Well, you know, everything they say, if you want it done right, you do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So,
do it yourself. Yes.
Where people have done stuff, and especially when it comes to my daughter, like she's in college trying to get her to take care of things that she needs to take care of. It's like, I just will. Just give me your password. I'll do it myself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It says she's recovering slowly from being a control freak. Yeah, it's like, you know,
yep.
If I don't do it, it won't be taken care of, or nobody's going to do it like I do. Like Anita said, yeah, I appreciated my husband taking the effort to clean, but it right. ain't like I've seen it.
But you have to learn to let go, and you have to team up with the right person to be able to let go. And back to what Angela mentioned about self-care, just like you were intentional about that 50 days, I think that every day you can be intentional about 30 minutes or an hour just to do something for you before your day starts or at the end of your day. And you have to set barriers with people. You know, you need to let them know, like, I'm available from this time to this time. You know, because if you don't, you're going to burn out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. If I exercise in my mind as much as I really do, I'd be 100 pounds. That, you know, every day I think, I'm going to go down there and get in the gym. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. If you don't do it in the morning, that day gets away from you and you won't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can, because I usually go at night at 9 o'clock. I go there 9:30, but I knew I was doing this tonight. So I intentionally got off of work. I ran an errand and I went to the gym and came back home at 7 because you have to be intentional.
Okay. So talk to me about this. What you call it? Not consistency. What's the word? This discipline.
Be intentional. Intentional.
Being intentional and having that discipline.
Yeah. Well, if you know that you want your life to be a certain way. And I look at, as a nurse, we're educating our patients constantly about weight loss and, you know, and doing things for yourself. Well, I have to practice what I preach. Absolutely. If I put in the effort to get myself to this level of shape and the clothes that I like to wear, then in order to keep it up, I have to be consistent, which means I have to be intentional. So even if I don't feel like it, the fact is I need to do it.
I hear you, Melanie, but that's just so much easier said than done.
It's not. If you put it in your mind that that's what you want to do, just like if you wanted to come on this podcast tonight, right? So you were intentional. Right. This is a volunteer thing. It's not something you have to do.
That's so true.
You prioritize what's important to you in your life, and you just do it.
Okay, y'all hear that, ladies? Dr. Melanie speaks. Prioritizing.
I don't want to hear the excuses.
Dr. Melanie
speaks. Yeah, plenty of them, honey, because I can give you a whole book of them right now. Oh, man, my toe hurt.
Yes, everything. Everything hurts. All right, so I know I'm married. Anita's married. Who's single? Who's out here trying to date over 40 and 50? Look,
I'm single.
Fee, the only one trying to date out here. Everybody else is like, forget it.
I'm single.
Sorry, okay. You trying to date?
You dating is hard.
It's horrible.
Dating is hard.
Hard.
Dating is hard.
The horrible.
It, both. I said hard, but it's horrible as well. It's horrible as well too.
We're talking about dating over crazy people
out here. It's hard.
They're crazy men out here and crazy women. Like, oh my gosh.
Have y'all tried the online dating?
It is. People are nuts. So, yes.
Dating is horrible.
And everyone's saying the same thing, and we're not even in the same area.
Dating is horrible.
It's not horrible. It's not horrible, horrible. But some people are ridiculous. They say all kinds of stuff.
Well,
if you want to share some of the ridiculous things.
Person, it's not.
If you say what? What'd you say, Shari? The reason why is that I've had a guy, and I am on a dating site, and I've had a guy to log in and and like me. And I was like, okay. And we started out having conversation. Then I get a picture, unsolicited picture. And it wasn't of his face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord.
Like,
Nita shaking her head like,
I'm like, delete. And then I get a message, because I guess I ain't fully delete him, about what I am, because I deleted him. Well, I didn't ask for this picture. I was barely talking to you, and you're going to send me an unsolicited picture of body parts that I didn't want to see?
Like, boy, where is your mama?
Talking about it. And then all of a sudden, the person that's in your city, then they start showing up in places they weren't showing up. So it's like,
So do we find ourselves circling back to the exes, like Vaughn Shante said? You go back to people you've dated before
and try Absolutely not. We are not regressing. You said no. I guess if you had a good person, you might want to consider, you know, because you've matured and things like that. But if you've escaped from someone that you probably shouldn't have been with in the first place, then absolutely not. You have to keep it.
Escaped.
But what if they left because of you? What if they left because of you? And they didn't.
Well, if you can own that you messed up and that you had a good person, then go for it.
Okay.
But some people don't like to hold themselves accountable. There's no personal accountability.
Bingo.
You're right. You absolutely bingo. Right.
So what are some of the challenges you're having?
Sonia,
you are dating coach. You get paid to put people together. You end up with an Ernesto like Shirley Strawberry. Sonia, we can't hear you yet. It's awful. Everyone deserves a second chance if both parties agree that you were both immature.
I can see that. Especially, you know, if you were young and in college.
Yeah, I can see that.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Angela, what challenges are you having dating over 50, 40? We'll just say 40.
Finding people who are intentional, consistent, sincere. And is this under FCC guidelines?
Oh, we don't know about that.
I don't think so.
You got to keep extra like the throughout there.
So, Angela, I'm going to ask you, since you said that someone who's intentional, consistent, right? You have to apply those same things to you too when it comes to you.
I am intentional. I am consistent. And I make that known. What happens is you meet people who will say those other intentions, but they're liars and the truth ain't in them.
Are you making time for that move?
There are some grown mature men out there who are also intentional and are dating with purpose and intention, but there are some who are just dating to swim in the pool and that's it.
Well, that's
right.
Well, I think a lot of them that are late 40s and 50s, they were in relationships for a very long time and now they feel free. So they just want to be out there. They don't have any intention on getting in a relationship. And so don't let them sell you dreams. But that's what I feel like a lot of men who are, I would say, maybe 45 and up until they're about maybe 55 or 60, then they're ready to settle back down.
That's why I like dating sites, because you can say, I just want to be social. I just want to date. You know, I'm not looking for anything serious. When you meet a man face to face, they're not saying, I just want to be sociable. or I don't want anything serious. They're just letting things go. And then it's like, when things get a little too hot, they're like, oh, well, I don't want anything serious. That's why I like to be able to text you for a little while just to communicate. Because a lot of times when you're face-to-face, things go a little bit, to me, faster because you're not talking as much.
Yeah, we got a question. How do you guys feel about dating younger men? I mean, my husband is 16.
Oh, I got that question right here.
And Fee's been, her ex was younger than her. How do you guys feel about dating younger men?
It depends on their level of maturity, really. Like, for me, my preference is older. But it depends on that. Yeah, you see, I love that, Angela. I'm talking, I can go up to 20 years older than me.
20, yeah.
So, because if it's the right guy, and sometimes these men in their 60s nowadays don't
if he's a silver fox.
Yes. See, sometimes they don't look their age, nor do they act their age. But someone younger, you know, if they're not mature, if they're not established, is that what you really want? Mm. And they might be looking to have children. So.
Well, that's true.
Some of them older are insecure as well. You know, my ex was 14 years older than me, but there was a sense, some insecurity there as well, because I was younger. So you still have to be careful. You really still have to be careful, even if you're dating them old.
I've been on both sides of that too, sorry, because I was married to someone 14 years older than me, and I've dated someone 13 years younger than me. They both were good guys, but at the same time, like, it's just like the age at some point became an issue, but it doesn't have to be. It really depends on the maturity level. Mm-hmm. And their intentions.
Mm-hmm. We got some Stellas in the crew, huh?
I know. I was grooving. I was definitely. But my ex-husband was more mature than his years. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm a little bit more playful than the average woman that is my age. So we met in the middle. We didn't work out for other reasons, but we met in the middle. He already had kids, so he knew there were none coming out of here. So we made sure that was known up front. But I mean, I would still date a younger guy. Probably not as young as my husband was.
Mm-hmm. So when meeting someone for the first time, though you video chatted, should you always meet them in a crowded place rather than have them come to your home, like, that's for the first time?
No, you don't want nobody coming to your home. And that's not mm-hmm. Nobody coming to your
home. You might not know if he's crazy. Rain.
I'm not the person, like I said, these people out here, they don't have it all right for some of them. Mm-hmm. And that's where they prey on women at, is on dating sites.
Mm. So how do you feel about men who are insecure? They'll never admit that they're jealous and insecure, but you can tell by their actions. I mean, I just don't understand it, but it, for anyone who's insecure, but a man who is, you know, jealous of a woman, how do you all feel about that?
I can speak on that. I dated a guy who treated me like that. And I didn't realize it at the time. I thought it was, you know, I thought it was just the typical arguing and didn't know what it was about. But I think it was because I was, we were younger and I was starting to come into my career as an accountant analyst and then corporate America, and he just wasn't able to get his foot into where he wanted to be. And he started telling me that I thought I was better than him and I have never been that person. And then it took someone a little bit older than me to tell me that a lot of times people will turn things on you because they're intimidated by you. Mm-hmm. And I had to realize and go back and talk about it, and that ended up being the case. Well, I had to let them know that I'm looking for a partner, not someone who wants to stab me in the back every time I get a promotion, or, you know, I want to be able to come and tell you how great things are. And I didn't feel like I could do that. I always, you know, when you feel bad about your own promotion or something good that's happening to you and you can't share it, that's not the right person to be with.
Right.
Early age.
Like, do you guys sometimes have fears of being alone? Like, dang, I'm this age, I ain't met nobody. I'm kind of feeling discouraged, you know, like, who gonna take care of me? I mean, we kind of at that age where we kind of wonder, like, who's gonna take care of me? Or I want somebody to grow old with.
Absolutely not, because I see it every day in the hospital that people who are married,
I think about that,
don't want to take care of them. So you can hire someone to take care of you. So, and it, I feel like it's better to be alone than to deal with anybody's crap.
So why can't be a medium, you know, a medium, like you able to find that person that you can, may not be a perfect person, but perfect for you. Why is one extreme to the next?
So there can be a medium if you find that person, but don't settle. I don't encourage anyone to settle. Just to have a man or just to have a woman, I think that's ridiculous.
Absolutely. Okay.
You just have to have someone. They just have to be with someone. And you know, they don't even know how to be alone.
That's true. Let's talk about that person. Settling. What are you guys looking for? And what is settling? Like, because what may be me selling, it may be something that you can deal with. So what is it, something that, what is on your list, your must-haves?
So I have like a list. You have to be physically attractive, mentally attractive, financially attractive, spiritually attractive, sexually attractive. I need all of that. I'm not going to settle if one of those things are missing.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you my number because I could take care of you when you get older. You can pay me.
They're out here.
You may be able to get, so you're saying if the person isn't.
Everybody's like, dang. I'm sorry,
physically attracted or sexually attracted. Somebody said his own teeth. Now I want you to see that. you're gonna find all of that in a guy. What if he's not one, you won't settle. You're saying if he doesn't have all of that, you're not gonna settle.
I don't have to, so why should I?
Okay,
I hear that.
Questions here in the chat about, someone said, what about education level? How important is that to you?
Oh, ooh, that's a good question.
Anybody want to answer that before I do?
I feel like with that, I mean, we're living in the era of the entrepreneur. So there's a lot of people that aren't necessarily educated beyond the high school diploma, but are still very successful, you know, at entrepreneurship. So, I mean, for me personally, I'll take that.
Mm-hmm. Like I said, he got to own it. I wouldn't date a bus driver, but if he owned the bus company, yes, that whole Ebony K. Brown thing with people drug her. You know,
and I'm sorry, I would date a bus driver. I mean, I would.
Me too. I mean, it's an honorable job. It's earning a decent living.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm in love with that man, and the only thing is that he's a bus driver, me and him, we will be together.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. You know, because there are a lot of people out here. There are men out here with 3 bachelor's degrees, MD, and ain't doing nothing with themselves and ain't no good for you.
Sounds like bipolar to me.
or their ego is just so big, right?
Just huge.
I used to always want someone, after being with someone who didn't have the education, and I kind of grew in my career, I wanted someone who had the same level of education, or at least one level, say like a master's degree. And so, but now I've run into so many people who are entrepreneurs and they're just super intelligent, you know, and they've educated themselves. They don't have the paper, but you have to have that level of intelligence, skill. You can go out there and make things happen, and your income is important.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So somebody on this group is going
to
dumb them.
So in other words, we need to be equally, we need to be equally yoked.
Yes. Yes. There you go.
Mm-hmm. No.
So I guess who's a traditional woman?
No one's going to dumb themselves to make someone else feel good.
Right. Who's a traditional woman here?
For the most part, I am. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm traditional.
Define traditional.
That's a good question. Everything is just so. For me, I would think the traditional woman would be gender roles. Man is going to take care of this. And, you know, I asked that because Dr. Heavenly, like, she made a comment, and maybe a couple of other people, women want to feel wanted. Men want to feel needed. Do you guys agree with that?
I agree with that. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if a man feels he doesn't need us, yes. Huh? Who said yes or no? Yeah, right. We want to feel wanted.
I agree with that. But on the same token. Right.
That's a delay.
Right. it is a delay. I think at the same time, we want to feel wanted, but just know I'm okay being alone. Just because I want you doesn't mean that I need you. Because, you know, I'm okay by myself. But on the flip side, it's nice to have a companion. It's nice to have someone to go to a movie with or to go out to dinner with. It doesn't even have to be anything serious. Just a friend that you have to hang out with. So I don't want, I wouldn't want them to confuse the want and the need.
Well, I was
because I think they're two separate things.
In a relationship, you already have that person.
Okay.
We want to feel wanted and they need to feel needed. If a man don't feel like you need them, then what?
They're gone.
They're gone. They want to feel needed. They want a woman to need them. Not in a sense like we think, I don't need no man to take care of me. It's not about that. It's like they want to feel needed. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about that?
They do.
Man feel needed. I mean, that's what I like to do.
I just wanted to say this year for myself. I dated two guys. I dated a blue collar worker and I dated a man. And I can tell you that I would have married either one of them. But the blue collar worker was quicker. And this is going back to your previous point. The blue collar worker, when I had an issue, was the one who also had a little side job hustle on the side. Had an issue come up and he knew about it. And he was like, hey, I don't have it right now, but I can work this many hours. I'll get it from my second job and help him out. Well, wealthier person knew I had a situation, looked at me, sipped his wine and kept on about his business, could care less. So I don't think the money really makes a difference. I think it's that person's heart. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, for me, as far as a traditional role, I like fixing a man's plate. I'm a country girl. I was raised that way, that you wait on and you cater to a man. And I don't care how many degrees I have. That's a privilege and honor for me that I want to do for him. But by the same token, I expect you to take care of me. And not necessarily financially. Of course, I want you to help out. But at the end of the day, if I've had a hard day, you know, do something sweet for me. The same kind of things that I would do for you if I came home early. Have each other's back. So, but being a country girl, I'm just stuck in that mindset that I'm supposed to wait on him, that I'm supposed to wash his clothes. That's how I was raised. That's how all us country girls still are to this day. So I don't know if any of you feel that like ingrained in you that you have to do those traditional roles, but I know for me, I'm still there.
Okay.
And as long as it's reciprocated, you know, you want want to take care of your man. You want him to feel good. You want to nurture him, but you have to feel some kind of reciprocation.
Okay. I think in relationships, people lose the art of serving each other. Mm-hmm. Because at the end of the day, you know, a marriage relationship is ultimately about serving each other. And I feel like sometimes somewhere in the relationship, depending on how long you've been together, people just lose sight of that and they become more self-centered. And then that's when, you know, things kind of start to go south because we start to put our own needs ahead of our husband's or wife's needs. But when we start to look, flip it and say, you know what, let me look at this as an act of service to them, because ultimately that's just what honors God. You know what I mean? When we start to look at it from that standpoint and just begin to look at it as we're serving each other, I think we'll start looking at things better, and I think we'll start seeing like more longer lasting relationships.
Yeah. You know, being in a relationship, it does humble you because you're not only thinking about your needs, you got to make sure that that other person is taken care of too. And a lot of times we sacrifice ourselves, we sacrifice ourselves for our careers. What do you guys feel like you've sacrificed from yourself, or, you know, just not being true to yourself? Because if it's your children, if it's the job, if it's the man, if it's making money, what do you guys feel about that?
I don't feel like I've sacrificed anything throughout my career. I've just done what I wanted to do, even with the children. You just teach them. Yeah. You know, I can even remember being in school and they were young. I had two jobs and I'm in school full time working on my master's and my doctorate. And I'm like, hey, look, mommy has her homework and you have your homework. And you know, so I feel like if you teach your children and you have that good relationship with your partner and their understanding, then you won't have to sacrifice a lot. You know, you just get it done. You have to put yourself first in everything that you do.
Okay. I think sacrificed, you know, being a single mom
and
having to be there for not only my daughter but my mom as well. I think I have sacrificed because there's no time except for during COVID where I was able to say, this is what I'm going to do. I've always had to work, and thank God I've been able to have a great job. But I've sacrificed some things because, you know, I have friends that were on vacations out of the country and everything, and I'm like, yeah, no, I can't go right now because my daughter's doing this and I have to pay for this and I have to do this, I have to be here for her. So yeah, I've made quite a bit of sacrifice. And even now that she's in college, I still have to make sacrifices. But I've learned that, you know, I still have to do things for me to keep my self-care. So it's changing up a little bit. But yeah, I mean, she was younger, a lot younger. I had to make sacrifices.
Yes. Anybody else?
So question, when you have if your child's father is still alive, right, and you had another parent, I was separated and then divorced, but I still made him responsible for taking care of his children so that I can go and do what I want to do. So, a lot of moms don't want to let go sometimes and let the other parent do those things, but you have to hold that person accountable so that you can still live your life. Because they're living their life every day.
Sometimes holding that person accountable is not even something.
Oh, I know. I've had my challenges, but I'm like, I'm going out of town and I need you to be here to do
everything. I'm not going to explain it here, but holding him accountable was, it was a lot. And I don't want anybody to do anything they don't want to do when it comes to my daughter. So that's just where I was at that time.
I think, Melanie, when you talked about that, needing your time, I think a lot of women struggle with that because they make their kids their lives. Their lives are surrounded or
you know, revolve around their kids. It's all about their kids. I know when I said it, it just sounds horrible, like, but you guys know what I mean. You got to take care of yourself to be able to take care of your kids. And I always say you're a woman first and then you're a mother. So you got to take care of yourself. You can't make your kids your everything, because those kids are going to eventually go off and they're going to leave you, and they're going to, then what are you going to have? Then you're going to be miserable, like, I don't have nothing because I made my life all about my kids. And it just creates a lot of anxiety, a lot of, you know, sense of overwhelming, depression, and all of that kind of stuff. You got to find that balance. You can't make everything about your kids or your husband.
Or your husband. Yes.
Or your job or any one particular thing. Right. Just finding that balance.
That's right. Well, you said that piece about or your husband, because a lot of women will just circle their lives around their husband. They won't go out with their other friends. They won't go on trips. They won't do anything. And you can't do that to yourself.
That is true. Your life, I want to make sure ain't nobody else buttering his bread.
That's not going to stop it.
That won't stop it. Now, I see on this list that Red sent me, yellow flags and red flags. Who can explain to me what you mean by the yellow flags and the red flags?
Sonia. I had to write in the chat.
I can hear you just a little bit.
So, for me,
okay. She said a yellow flag is you ask questions, right?
Right. Whereas a red flag could be, you know, that's kind of a red flag. We have to,
yellow flag asking if you got a girlfriend. What I'm hearing you say, and what we talked about a little bit, yellow flag is you may hear something he may say. You don't really dig it a red flag, but you're going to kind of proceed with caution, kind of like the yellow flag. I'm going to keep my eye out for that. What are some of the red flags that you guys have seen or dealt with the dating or in anything that you'd be like,
A red flag to me, and I'm just going to say this, I'm going to put you on mute for a minute because I'm getting some feedback. But red flags, and I'm one of the ones that's out here on this dating site. Once you get to know a man, you're off the dating site, you've been texting, you went on a couple of dates, and you don't kind of move forward, or it's like when it comes time to kind of get into each other's lives, I can't go to your house. You can only come see me during certain times, right? Or when we see people that you, and I've never had this situation, but if we were to see people that you know and you're like, oh, I'll talk to them later. All those are red flags to me. I pay attention to a lot of stuff. So, not wanting to tell you their personal business. That's a red flag that we all should be paying attention to. Anybody else?
Well, red flags could be, you know, only available during a certain time to communicate. You know, kind of fall off after dark, you know, holidays roll around.
Okay, Valerie, you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, this is my aunt who has adopted red. And, she can tell us about some of her red flags.
I see. He said he out of town, but you know he ain't out of town. You saw him someplace else.
He don't know you saw him though. And But you know what is so funny to me is when men, you catch them in a lie and they holding on to that lie for dear life. You know, like let's just say they say, oh, well, I was in D.C. And you like, but somebody was on live and saw you downtown. You won't go nowhere. But you had some chick beside you hugging all on you. Mm-hmm. That's like, that was my sister. Really? Really, I know your sisters. I mean, but a man will hold on to a lie for dear life.
I just don't understand why people get into relationships if they... Why do you think people get into relationships if they want, if they're going to cheat? Why would people do that?
Because they want their cake and eat it too. Mm. Right? And then I think that monogamy is forced. It's not natural.
It's not. Oh, heard
that before. Look at every species.
Monogamy not natural?
It's not. If you look at every species of male, what are they doing? Humping around, right? Mm. Going from person to person, going from animal to animal. And it's forced. And I think that that's why a lot of men fail in relationships, because they're trying to be this monogamous person, but it's not in their nature to be like that.
It's not in our nature either.
Well, women cheat too.
Yeah, the women cheat too, but more men do that.
Why women get called names when they're humping around? I mean, if it's not natural, I mean, you know.
Because we're still in their craft.
It's a double standard. Just like the men could cheat, but you could catch him cheating 5 or 6 times, and one time he catch you cheating, it's over. You don't broke him. Oh, but I, you know, I stay with you. You know,
because they can't handle it. They can't handle us doing what they do.
So who is the get back person? You cheat on me. Who is the get back person? I'm gonna get you back. I know it sounds terrible. Well, maybe in my backsliding days.
No. You got time. I'm gonna get you back, but I'm gonna tell you I'm gonna get you back. That's not gonna be a secret.
Tell you, that's gonna be my little secret. If you catch me, you catch me. But no, I'm not gonna tell you.
I'm gonna let you know ahead of time.
I'm not gonna get you back, but I'm gonna make you sure you see me out with somebody a little way better than you. I'm just saying. I'm being honest.
So we were talking about why men can cheat with on 5 different people. That one time you cheat, he out of there. Like,
can you guys hear me now?
Much better, because
you know, men are territorial, you know, and men, that's their number one deal breaker. When you in terms of men don't want to share their woman with anyone. Mm-mm. So that's a number one deal breaker for a man, and unfortunately, you know, there are double standards, and that is definitely one of them. You cannot be a woman that cheats and just think your man is going to forgive and take you back. But women are known to forgive and take a man back after he cheats. And
but why? Why do we take him back?
We love him.
We love him. And I think, you know, if the behavior stops and it's like a one time, and you know, because forgiveness is something that we must do if you have Christian beliefs. If you don't have Christian beliefs, then you may operate a different way. But under Christian beliefs, you have to be a woman that knows how to forgive, because it's not going to just be infidelity that you have to forgive in a relationship. In a relationship, on a day-to-day basis, things can come up, or month to month, or year to year, things that you have to forgive. So, so if you are faced with some infidelity and it was a one-time thing, you really just have to be a spiritual and led as to what's your next step.
Okay, so what that sounds real good, but when it happens, I don't know.
Sometimes that goes out the window, and I'm a Christian. I believe in forgiving. That's and what you mean. And I have forgiven. I mean, and people say this about me all the time. You can go find one of my exes and I'm cool with them today, but I'm not go back. We can be cool, but I'm not going back if you did me wrong. You know, I've forgiven you, but you won't see me again in that light. Because it depends on, you know, what you did. And I can't hold myself accountable. If we do it again, we might have a problem, you know.
As people as a whole, we're going to definitely have different, you know, experiences and different outcomes. So you have to do what's best for you in those scenarios.
You do. Right. You do. And the reasons, would you guys want to know why? What are some of the questions that you want to know? Want to know why?
Are they going to tell the truth? If you ask why, you know. And I feel like I would ask why and then re-examine myself, because it could be some things that are missing that I'm not doing that I might have been doing in the past. Or, you know, sometimes women, we can just let ourselves go, and men are physical, right? They are attracted to physical beauty and women who keep themselves up. But then there's sometimes that men cheat with the woman and you're like, he cheated with her. You know, the woman that you wouldn't even expect, because that's just not his caliber of a woman.
Mm-mm.
She was easy.
They always cheat down. They
not cheat always.
Down. Most of the time, they cheat down.
Because it's easier for them, right? If their intention is to just have sex with someone, that's easier to cheat down. You know, they don't have to put as much work in.
Well, that's true.
To cheat with somebody on your level, but you know,
I think it could matter sometimes if they're expressing. Sometimes, you know, we can ignore on either side. Our partner could be telling us, "Okay, well, I need more time. I need more affection. I need more attention." And if you're a new mother and you just focus on your kid, you focus on this, and he's telling you what he needs and you can't find it, and he goes out and does that, I think I would want to know why, you know. And that way maybe I can readjust some things. I can recognize, well, hey, he did say he needed more time, he needed more affection or whatever. I was focused on the kid. I was in a depressive state. Because sometimes, especially if you've been with someone for a very long time, I mean, we're talking to Anita, been married like 25 years. I mean, I'm sure he's seen you through your ups and downs, your ups and downs, your ups and downs. Like, that's a lot. We deal with a lot. We change and we evolve. So I don't know. I might want to know why.
I think knowing why kind of falls into that intimate and that deep conversation level. You got to be able to be deep with your spouse enough and honest enough to have that conversation.
Emotional intelligence, maturity, yes. And yes. You're going to hear some things that don't sound good. Mm-hmm. You know, we always want to hear the fluff and all the good stuff, but we don't always want to hear what we're not doing right or what we've done wrong, and what they're asking for and what they're saying they need.
Right.
And sometimes you have that deep conversation and you have to believe what they're saying out of their mouths. I don't know, but sometimes I've experienced women who the husband or significant other will tell them exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. And in their own mind, they're telling themselves, no, it can't be that. It can't be that. No, he told you what it is that he would like to see you change. And I don't know, some women just, it goes right over their head.
But we could have our egos too. Like, I look good, I make money, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. You know, what more could he want, kind of stuff. And sometimes our egos can get in the way too.
And men, they say they don't care about how much money you make. I hear a lot of men say they don't care about how much money a woman makes, but we aren't the only go through this. Celebrities. I mean, look what Nia Long went through. Look what a lot of celebrities go through. You could have it all. It does not matter. If that man has his eye on someone else, he's going to go for it, no matter what. Yeah. So it doesn't matter.
Yes.
And not necessarily the man. The woman as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know some women that are out here doing whatever they can, whatever they're big enough to do, and I'm like, dang, you acting like a dude, because I've given the man that character. But mm-hmm. there's some women out here that got a, and you're looking like you got a good man. Mm-hmm. What are mm-hmm. you doing? They just, you know, the man may be a little bit too slow for them, or too boring, or not doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, you outgrow them.
But then they don't have the courage to just leave, you know, say this isn't working because of the lifestyle they might have or how it might look to someone else. You know, people are ashamed often of divorce and things like that. I think you need to have some guys on and have these conversations, because I hear guys complaining about women and, you know, how bad women out here can be for them. And so it's like, it's really appalling to me. Like, oh my gosh, women act like that.
we might be doing that. Now you
know. Yeah. Then we talk about the dating pool, the ones that I hear, the single guys, or women just, they just look for somebody to take care of them. You know, we mm-hmm. hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Well, Melanie, we have what's called No Holds Barred, where we invite an equal amount of women and men on. Mm-hmm. A woman can ask a man any question she wants to. And once you agree to come on, you have to answer the question. Mm-hmm. And then we ask that they be honest about the things that they're going through. So we do have, and we're actually planning in the future one in person in Richmond, Virginia. So keep your eyes and ears open.
But Peter, you've been married for 25 years. Tell us the secret.
A whole lot of prayer. A whole lot of prayer. And that's not even trying to be deep. It's just the truth. It's just the truth. And just, you know, growing together. You're growing. You're two individuals. You're both evolving. You're both growing. And at the end of the day, it's just like I said at the beginning, it's agreement. Do we both agree that we're in this? I remember one of the things that I told my husband early on when we were dating, we weren't even exclusively boyfriend and girlfriend yet. And I said, if you're going to be in this, be in it. And if you don't, let me know. Like, don't waste my time. Because if you want to be out there doing you, then set me free. You know what I mean? And it was just up from there. You know what I mean? I was committed, and it was just two people in it for the long run. And that's been pretty much, you know, what's kept us together. And like I said, a whole lot of prayer. A whole lot of prayer.
And I heard you say something. It's the ability to sit down and agree that this mm-hmm. is what we both want to do. Mm-hmm. People get into marriages and relationships because I want to be married. The other person may not want to be married, but they want to be with you. But the only way they know they can be with you is to go along with what you want to do. That's also not something that you should. Mm-hmm. If you're not ready, then maybe that person needs to go off, like you said, set them free so they can go off and find the person that is ready to be where they want to be. That's a lot of things that we've been going on. Everybody is not ready for the same thing, but in order to be with me and to keep having sex with me, and if you got to marry me, you're giving them a stipulation, and they want to be with you, they marry you. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work.
When you guys meet somebody, do you put that out there, what you want, what you expect? When it's time to get, when it's getting serious, do you make, look, I don't do this, you know, if you want to be with me, the same thing like Anita said, do you guys do that, and how has the outcome been? Like, when you let them know up front what you want, what you need, what you're looking for?
I think you should do that day one. Like, if I'm looking for a husband, I'm telling you that on our first conversation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we won't even go any further if that's not what you want.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Absolutely, because I'm looking for a husband. I'm not looking for a plaything.
And all the times, sometimes they'll propose to you to keep you, right? Mm-hmm. And then you're the fiance for 10 years.
Exactly. Oh, goodness.
You know, it's ridiculous.
Well, I don't think for 10 years. That's, I'm allergic to that.
Yeah. they do that because they want to lock you in. They don't want you to leave, and they think that's going to keep you. And it never happens.
Mm-hmm. Like Sonya said, territorial. So if you guys got a serious relationship and a marriage, would you do a prenup?
Absolutely. Protect yourself. Even if it's $10 you have, it's yours.
Angela, I'm calling you. No, I'm just joking.
Oh, where is she? I was going to say she should chime in on this one.
I didn't do a prenup the first time because first time I was married, I didn't. But I think if I was to get married in the future, I would.
Me too.
And the reason being hindsight is like the emotional breakup is one thing you're dealing with. You know, the disconnection of the marriage and feelings and the love being gone. That's one thing. But to have to deal with that financial piece in addition to that, I feel like a prenup will let you, if your second relationship or marriage failed, then you can be like just dealing with the emotional separation and not have to worry about the financial piece. So that would be my reason for doing it.
Yeah, great. I mean, these days women are paying men. Look at, we have Holly Berry taking care of two men, Mary J. Blige. Who else? I think J Lo had to end up paying.
That's
yes.
Sad.
Yeah,
that's sad. I mean, I have to do it because I'm taking care of my. I can't afford to have money in my house or things taken away from me. That depend on me, so.
So what if the man says, well, you don't have assets like Halle Berry and those people. Why are we getting a prenup? What would be your response?
Because I have potential.
I do have assets.
It's all an asset.
You have as much as you have, but I got a house, and I got money, and I...
That's right.
A retirement.
A retirement, yes, ma'am. People are having to give up.
Yeah, your retirement. Yeah,
you better protect it. Even if it's $5, you better protect it. It's yours. You worked hard for that before you met that man, and he should not be able to come in and take it away. And the same thing I feel for men, but vice versa.
I mean, your home alone is an asset. If you own your own home,
exactly.
Yeah.
I know a man right now who is fighting for his pension and is. All of his money, and it's sad that this woman wants to take everything he has simply because she's upset with him.
Hence why a lot of men these days don't even want to get married.
What do y'all feel about the life partners?
Oh, that's wonderful.
I can't.
I think that's great. I think that's great. I feel like they're even happier. I see it all the time.
Why do you think they're happier just with the life partners?
Because the law, for one, is involved in marriage. So there is no going to court and taking things away from you. You have your own life, but then you have your togetherness. You know, there's no commitment. There's no expectations other than to respect one another. And so I've seen it in a lot. I'm talking like couples in their 80s, 70s, and 80s. I see it in the hospital all the time. They're like, oh, that's my life partner.
Well, shoot, they don't want to give up that. They don't want to lose that Social Security.
Yeah. I don't blame them. I mean, if it works,
you get to that age, no, we ain't getting married.
Well, one second. If I get to that older age, then yeah.
Yeah, but they've been like life partners for 40 years. I'm talking about people who have done this for years, and they're not necessarily Black Americans. They're usually Caucasian. That's their partner.
Okay. Look, what was like, okay.
Because why do I need to sign a document to show you how much I love you? I can show you how much I love you and love you without signing a document.
But you know, one thing I know this from someone that went to church with me, her husband passed away and she wasn't. Well, we thought she was married, but she wasn't. And her kids came in and kind of took everything. And that wasn't fair. But he hadn't written anything up to for her, and she was a life partner. And it was hard. That's hard. You know, our kids had to come and get her because she couldn't no longer live in the house. I mean, it was a lot. It's just like, you know, for me personally, when I get to be older, you know, I may not want to do it, but I'm going to also have what's mine. You know, no one's going to be able to kick me out of, I'm going to be able to go back to something, or hopefully my daughter will help me or whatever. But it would be sad for you to get to that age and one of you all pass away and somebody can come and do that to you. And I'm just talking about the legal, not even just, you know, love is one thing, but like you said, making sure that you have your ducks in a row as far as your pension and being able to keep it, but you still also have to make sure that you're good in your old age, because then what happens to you?
Do you guys feel that people have this attitude of, or thought process of, the life partners because they've been burned and scorned by marriage and they like, I'm never doing that again because it was so painful, it was so hurtful. I'll be your life partner, but I ain't walking down that aisle again because I ain't going through another painful divorce.
Yeah.
That too. But then I think you shouldn't live above what you can afford for yourself. So mm-hmm. Even if you get in a relationship, if this isn't something, because your husband could pass away, your husband could divorce you, you know, and if you're living off of both incomes and that's the only way you can survive, then you've kind of set yourself up. So never bring into the relationship, in my opinion, more than you can handle on your own.
People that are set up in this world today. Hmm? There's a lot of people that are set up in this world today because a lot of women live off of their husband's income. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women, if your husband make more than you, mm-hmm. You may be able to, he may purchase a home that costs more than what your salary is bringing in. So, I mean, that's kind of hard to say, especially, and I'm no longer in Virginia, I'm down here in Georgia. And in Georgia, a lot of women, stay at home and the man is out there working, simply because, like you said earlier, it's cheaper for the woman to stay at home and keep the kids versus sending them to daycare and having those fees come out. So it's going to be more than what the woman can afford. So a lot of families that are doing that.
Well, if you want to maintain that same lifestyle, then I recommend you having that income to maintain that same lifestyle. But making sure that at least you have income to maintain yourself, if that was to happen, you can move and buy your own home, you can get your own apartment, you can have your own cars, you know, just make sure that you can give yourself, because nothing is promised. And that person could have done a secret trust or anything. You don't even know.
That's true. So if he makes 100K and you make 40K, are you guys living off the means of that 40K?
Probably not. Probably. But you better save your money.
Probably not.
And right. So you
that's a whole nother conversation, you know.
Yeah.
Of knowing that even if you're not working, when your husband gives you, I hate to call it an allowance, but you need to be taking some of that and putting it into savings. And
I come mean, through, Shawnee O'Neal.
You can be okay with being able to move on with whatever you have.
Be stacking money. Look. We see the burn. Look, the Shawnee O'Neal, she was taking money, but look, I'm a housewives person. But you think about the Real Housewives of Miami. What's her name? Her husband was a big doctor and lawyer, ended up cheating and stuff. And, you know, she had to move out the marital home. She had to do all of that stuff. And because she didn't own anything, basically, everything was kind of in his name. And he earned all of the money. So she was kind of out there until, you know, legally they were able to separate. She was able to ask for money. Same thing with the Ashley Darby. So a lot of times these men that they have money, they don't always set you up. They protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to protect
my name on the house.
Mm-hmm.
My name on the house.
Right. Uh-huh. I may not be on the loan, but I'm on the deed. So on the deed. Put me out.
Right. They were being the traditional woman.
That's right.
That's right. Got burned in the end.
Okay, that's a touche. Yes.
Well, ladies, look, we've been on here for an hour and a half, and it feels like we're just sitting here chilling. We're gonna have to have a part two.
Mm-hmm.
We had some ladies to fall off, so we'll have to have a part two where we can get everybody back on again. I appreciate having you guys. I know I already knew Anita and I know Angela, but thank you guys for coming on.
We appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
We appreciate
you. Do you want to make a comment? There's a comment in the chat that others can't see, but Tashi said, alone and lonely are completely different things. You can be lonely in a room full of people. And that's so true.
I agree 100%.
That's very true.
Because I'm alone right now. I ain't lonely.
Right.
Good right now. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying life.
Mm-hmm.
Now, come around Christmas time, I might be lonely.
It's only for one day. Just remember that. It's one day.
I think I got enough family that I'm lonely.
Right. And yeah. They'll be right back out there the next day. So...
Well, thank you, ladies, so much. This has been great. Good girl chat. A lot of great information. And we thank you guys.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
We are here to inspire her, the total woman.
Yay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.